This is CliffCentral.com.
Transformation Platform. I'm Adrian Groenewald. It's good to be with you, with me, Alison Yandu and Richard Angus.
How's it all, yeah?
The Technology Transformation and Leadership Show is brought to you by Cell C Business. Get the best in-building coverage with Wi-Fi calling only with Cell C. The power is in your hands.
Doing business in the current economic climate can be made tougher by your telecommunications bill. At Cell C Business, we don't only offer a range of voice and data contracts that'll make sense to any CFO. We also offer innovations like contract buyout, exclusive to Cell C Business, which means we'll pay your business up to 20,000 Rand per line when you move to us. So visit cellc.co.za/business and switch to Cell C for great value. Cell C, the power is in your hands. T's and C's apply.
All right, once a month we look at technology transformation and the impact on leaders and business and society. Our leaders have been caught off guard, probably, if you really consider the impact that technology is having on them and how they lead. So that's why we set aside this half hour month, if it's ever enough, and we try and make sense of all of this. Last month we had Brett Cassidy, Executive Head, Corporate and SME, and we spoke about Wi-Fi calling, which is a very interesting new innovation here in South Africa, at least. Today we've got Suri Ramasuri. Ramasuri. I was hoping it was just Ramsamy. Ramasuri. Welcome, Suri.
Good afternoon, Adrian.
And she is one of the executives at Cell C. She's going to help us understand the impact of mobile phone, the impact it's had on us as human beings, as executives, as leaders. And of course, we have our two panel members. Right, folks, let me just understand something, Suri. Maybe you don't have this at your fingertips, but we've got different kinds of phones in the market now, don't we? You've got your smartphone, and then you've got, how do we categorize the other really basic phones? And because those are phasing out, aren't they?
Yes.
I mean, right now, what percentage of us have smartphones? What percentage will have smartphones? And then we have the phones that aren't smart yet.
The dumb phones.
In fact, those were the first phones, right?
Yeah. The ones that you, yeah.
So we have, completely different market segments. And in terms of those market segments, I think original phones were the ultra low cost devices that came into the market, predominantly with Nokia, Huawei, and ZTE. And then you had quite a few other different models that came through from the Chinese market. And those devices just allows the customer to purely make calls and send SMSs. Then we've got the next tier, which is featured phones. This phone was developed with the capability to allow customers to do web-enabled transactions like accessing the internet, but very basic internet access. And then the market evolved quite tremendously in terms of moving into smartphones. So your high-end smartphones entered the market. And based on this advanced technology and the need for customers wanting access to these devices, the introduction of entry-level smartphones entered the market. And this is in the past couple year or so, where we've had more affordable devices in the smartphone range. And then you also have other devices like your tablets, which enables consumers a bigger screen to access the internet and more advanced digital technology and platforms. And then you have your traditional laptops, which has also evolved in terms of becoming more smartphone related in terms of touch screen and more advanced capabilities that smartphones bring to the market now.
Do we know what comes after smartphones?
So I think the smartphones are just evolving. I think it's going to get into smarter way. It's going to move into virtual reality.
Yeah, wearables.
Mm. What did you
wearable,
say?
Wearables.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, technology that you can wear and can use as a phone.
Oh, wearables on your ear, whatever it is. That seems to be where it's going, yeah?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Well, I'm reminded now as we say this of this image. I'm sure you've all seen the jokes that do the rounds of then and now. And there's this picture of the then, and there's this child sitting in front of a cathode ray, you know, those big old TVs. And in the back, you hear the mother screaming, "I hope you're not sitting too close to the screen." and then the now, and you see this person wearing a virtual reality helmet where the screen is literally not even an inch from your eyes. Yes. And I'm going, okay, I wonder what your mother would say now.
Yeah, I mean, phones, all of us have phones now, don't we? The only place where there's space to sell phones are the kids in primary school almost. High school, they all have. So that's kind of the extent of your...
My experience, if you're 12 and you don't have a cell phone, you're not it.
Yes. So it's changed. I think even at grade 0 and grade 1 level, kids have phones just for pure communication with their parents. So it's broken the levels of where it was previously in high school.
Because parents have lost the ability to plan forward. We don't have to plan if we can just call and SMS or whatever. Mm. All right. So, I mean, we know the world has changed dramatically. There was a time when people said, I'll never get a phone because it interferes with my privacy. I mean, that was in my lifetime still.
Yes.
And yeah, even...
But Adrian, very important, that's less than 30 years ago.
Yeah, it's like less than that even.
I think maybe I need to be corrected here, but I think this first cell phones entered this market around 93, 92.
94.
Yeah.
94. 94.
94.
Mm. So it's 20. It's 20.
So as much as our democracy is old, that's how old the cell phone
literally,
market is.
Literally a parallel with the new democracy. Yeah.
I think internationally it broke in around the 80s, and then South Africa launched for the first time in 94.
Mm. But we're now on par, are we not, in South Africa with the rest of the world technology?
In fact, we've leaped. Mm. I mean, I went to the US in 2001, and I was shocked about the phones that I saw there. You know, they had these flip phones, you know, by Verizon. Oh. Nothing smart about that technology, but here we already had, you know, taken a leap in terms of the smartphones, at least at a functional level, that we're already in this market.
Mm. So, yeah, I mean, from a smartphone advancement in terms of the mobile manufacturers, they always break out in Europe and America first, and then it follows suit into South Africa. But South Africa has become a big contender in terms of smartphones. I mean, if you look at the smartphone market now in terms of devices, predominantly smartphone in the contract space, because smartphones are no longer just a tool of communication. It's become a status symbol that people actually, especially at university levels and school levels, it's all about you having a certain brand of phone. So whether you use it as often as you do, but it's purely just a status symbol at the moment.
Well, it's even driving towards a necessity.
So
the battle now is not necessarily, and this is where South Africa might be behind, is not the phone you have, but the connectivity. So Wi-Fi calling works 100% in the US because there's Wi-Fi everywhere. In South Africa, it'll come. It's already a benefit, but you don't have Wi-Fi everywhere, so you can't necessarily use it. I mean, that's the challenge we have in South Africa.
Yeah. So I think probably a year ago you could make that statement, but I think everywhere you go now, from spas to cafes to malls to buildings, I mean, coming to your building, everywhere you're getting access to Wi-Fi. And I said it is growing and much more vastly than it was in the past. And I mean, I'm quite surprised. And I mean, companies have also taken Wi-Fi to a different level. Like walking to a mall, you get access to free Wi-Fi, and you have to provide some information in terms of your demographics. So they're collating customer information and giving access to Wi-Fi. So it's starting to grow, I mean, across the board. So in terms of traveling in Europe, yes. I mean, from sitting in the bus and the train to airports and everywhere you go, you're getting access to Wi-Fi.
I think, too, we also perhaps are moving from, you know, a phone become, you know, being an accessory to it being a utilitarian tool. You know, it just has to be there for you, you know, to be able to function in society. But I have a question for Suri, because as much as this technology is great, it also creates challenges for, you know, the companies that essentially are involved in this space. What are your thoughts? I mean, my notion is that over time, no one would be paying for the handset. Already we've seen, you know, mobile phone companies kind of throw handsets away if one were to use that. But I still see handset going for $859 a month, and, you know, compounded over 2 years, it's like $20,000 and something. And I'm like, is that how much this handset should be worth? Or should the companies now be looking at saying, you'll have the phone, but connectivity is where we make our money. What are your thoughts in terms of the shifts that might happen eventually?
I mean, if you look at the phone as purely a device and the technology and where the mobile phone's gone to, and I mean, if you compare that to your flat screen TV at home, it's quite expensive, and all these devices are important. So you've got your exchange rates to deal with, and the cost of devices based on the capacity of the chipset in the phone and the advanced technology that comes in terms of the capability and the feature set of the phone, it becomes more expensive every time a new device or upgrade to that device is released in the market. For companies to start funding and fully subsidizing the device becomes a huge OPEX cost for the organizations. So if you look in the market, a lot of the mobile operators, even internationally, they're moving away from subsidization of handsets and rather coupling great value in terms of services that they can offer to the consumer. Because the moment and the challenge that you have as an operator in the South African market is you can't SIM lock a device to your operator.
Or like you used to before.
Used to be, but because regulations, you can't SIM lock that device. So it becomes very difficult because the customer purchases the contract and he can easily swap other devices. So you're not guaranteed the revenue from the device that you potentially would have in the past when it was SIM locked. So it's not that simple to...
With number portability as well. I remember when that came, that was a huge thing.
Yeah.
You know, no one could see the possibility of that ever happening.
Yeah.
All right.
And I mean, with advanced technology now and the price of devices coming into the market, I mean, customers just can't afford the 24-month subscription in the contract. So
it's too much.
You'll see it's moving to 36 months now in terms of being able to afford to pay the device off.
All right. So let's get really basic here. Let's look at the pros of the mobile phone coming into our lives. And let's talk smartphone, doesn't matter. And then I want us to look at the cons. And I see the same things on the same list, actually. On both lists, sorry. The same things on the both lists. But gentlemen, let's look at this. Suri, let's look at this. What are the pros as a leader, as a human being, that's come my way because of the advent of the mobile phone? What do you think?
So, I mean, if you look at, from a consumer perspective, it's a complete converged platform. I can do my banking to doing payments. I mean, you just download SnapScan. You can go into any store, scan and pay. You actually don't need your credit or debit card. I can communicate to anyone, across the world with all the social platforms that are around. I can book the Uber. I mean, who would have thought you could just go on your device and book the Uber and it's at your doorstep, to travel. It's just mind-blowing how the phone has actually evolved and what you can actually get access to. I mean, you're sitting in a foreign place and the lights just go out. You can actually just go into Google and download a torch. I mean, it's just changed your whole experience of life. Even with the teenagers in terms of communicating, from an educational perspective, getting access to information at your fingertips and just taking your phone and turning it into a hotspot and letting people share and communicate at the same time is just amazing.
We can just go on, can't we?
From a business perspective, it's also changed. I mean, in the past, you had to be at the office to be able to communicate and to work. And now you can just, from anywhere, you can start communicating to your business colleagues, downloading your email, sending applications, virtually working from anywhere.
Including on vacation?
Yes. I think that's the con.
That's the con.
To having access to
it. I've just recently returned this past Saturday from a 10-day excursion into China for business. And what you refer to rings so true in so many ways, and we have become to expect this as a norm. And then occasionally things go a little bit awry. So I arrived in Hong Kong, for example. And you walk into Hong Kong Airport, and whoops, up comes your phone, free Wi-Fi, courtesy of the Hong Kong government, you know, Hong Kong government, free Wi-Fi in the airport. No problem. I could make phone calls. I phoned my wife. I think I phoned Adrian, perhaps. Did the this, did the that. Everything works great. I then got across into Shanghai, and there was the Uber available. Everything was working nicely. And then I went to the ATM to try and draw some cash. Oh, hold on a second. Your card don't work, because this is not a China UnionPay aligned ATM. And so I had to then, you know, do a bit of maneuvering to get myself around. And I thought to myself, I just wish that they would use SnapScan on the metro so that I could just SnapScan my metro card. I literally needed 4 yang to get from where I was on the metro stop, and I couldn't get it because I didn't have currency. I couldn't use my phone because the SnapScan technology that I would normally be comfortable with obviously doesn't work in that
in different countries,
etc. You know, and then I discovered the Great Wall of China has gone electronic. It's called the Great Firewall. And occasionally it works and occasionally it doesn't. So one minute you've got Uber, the next minute you don't. Most of the time you don't. Kind of. So if you're in Shanghai, you've got Uber working fine, no problem. Firewall doesn't have a problem with you getting Uber in Shanghai. But Uber in Beijing, uh-uh.
Too close to the
obviously. So, the technology is really there and is very usable. But sometimes, and the problem is we are so used to expecting consistency from what's on the phone.
Mm.
It always works until the connectivity drops out, and then you've got a problem.
So, that's a practical experience. You've been to China as well, Alice. I don't know if you have, Siri.
Yes. I'm the only one who hasn't.
Okay. So you're the only one who hasn't.
Some other pros. I've got, for example, always available. Okay, so thinking very essence.
Yes.
And I've also got that on the negative list.
Yeah.
But you're always available now as a leader. I've got more communication.
Yeah.
Right? So you can communicate more, faster. So if you were on your way to the studio now and you couldn't make it 20 years ago, then there's a problem.
Yes.
Now you can actually send a message very quickly.
Yes.
So we can communicate more.
Communication, also planning.
Planning.
You can change, tweak things on the fly.
You can adapt, be more agile.
Yes.
Which probably the fast-moving environment we live in, you need that. You need more agility, more ability to adapt. Okay. More informed. Right. Leaders are more informed, but followers are also more informed.
Mm.
Yeah.
So I think that's a pro.
Well, yeah. I was going to say, I think the reality is nowadays, I mean, we had an experience. We're now waiting for a transfer from Hong Kong to Shanghai on an airline, and there's an issue, and there's just really, really poor communication from the airline, you know, to us. I tell you, it took 30 seconds, and I watched all of these phones come out, and everybody's on their phone. And I'm like, what are you busy doing? No, we're just whacking these people on Twitter and this and that. And I'm going, whoa! I looked at the lady behind the airline counter. I'm like, I think you need to get a manager down quickly because your brand's about to go south.
But I think, the airlines are also evolving. I mean, if you look at BA as an example, they've got an application that you can download.
Mm.
And it keeps you informed on the fly. Flights are delayed or any information that you want to send, it actually just pops up on your phone.
Mm.
So okay. I think, previously you had to go into a check-in counter, print your tickets and then go through your boarding pass. Now all you do is you just take your phone, you scan your boarding pass.
Most airlines do that.
Your application. So, it's really evolved in terms of helping businesses out there to go more digital and give the customer a better experience and move away from the paper-based.
These are the pros. Let's keep going the pros, cons.
But the thing about better informed, I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure about that, but I think this then takes us back to the earlier conversation about time compression, you know, because you've got this device and you feel the pressure and the need to always be connected. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you're better informed. You just have a much more better ability to juggle things, but you're not doing things in the substance that they're supposed to, because you don't have that laxity of flexibility of time. I mean, you could be you know, handling four calls coming in one after the other, but it doesn't mean that you're better informed. You just have more demands on your time.
So we might be what, substituting substance for what?
Speed. For convenience.
Yeah. Speed.
Speed.
Speed. Yeah.
You know. So but can we live without these tools? Of course not.
But can we live without substance? Of course not.
I think Ellis makes a very good point. I mean, let's just cite an example. Somebody is unhappy with something. They send you an email or they've sent you a complaint or whatever. Before, you would have time to sit down, look at the thing, maybe get some facts, and then respond to them. Now, they're SMSing you, emailing you, and everything's happening on your phone. And if you're not responding within 10, 15 minutes, the next complaint is you're not responding to my complaint, you know, and it's like, hold on a second here, like what gave the world the license to expect me to be watching my phone and be connected to my email every minute of every day, 24/7, 365? Where's that rule? Who contracted that?
It's just appeared.
I didn't sign that contract. I don't know if any of you did, but I didn't sign up for that.
And I think that's one of your biggest con is in terms of this world is so fast changing, and you have to constantly be with the technology and constantly being and you exceptionally right. I mean, if you look at the business environment now, I mean, all these WhatsApp groups and stuff that starts getting created, and people assume by purely just communicating through these channels that things need to start happening, but there's still a formal process that need to be followed, and you still have to engage at different levels, which doesn't, I think the technology and the phones, they enable you to be able to get access quite quickly.
They're not the substitute.
To information, but they purely, I mean, they will never be a substitute, because that phone, and I mean, you look at the world out there, if people don't have their phones or they lose their phones or the battery dies, they get like anxiety
attacks. But it's more important than your car. It has become more important than anything.
You can order a car on your phone. Order the Uber.
They can steal my car. I'll replace it somehow. But boy, my phone gets lost. If it's not backed up perfectly or something, I really, really am in deep trouble. The kind of numbers I've got on it, I mustn't say too much here, but that's the challenge we face now.
It's, I mean, your whole life on a device. So, I mean, you store practically everything on the device. I mean, look at it, catching the most amazing moments. I mean, in the past, you had to take out pictures, you didn't even know what they looked like, and then you'd go out there and develop it, and now everything happens in the moment. Even in business, you go and you have your workshops and you just map out everything and you just take a picture of it. You don't have to go physically now draw
it.
This
you put thing on the whiteboard and you take a picture of that. Basically, everyone's become a photographer, everyone's become a reporter. You said something about the phone and the communication via the phone won't replace what? Personal contact.
So
that might be true, but what is true doesn't matter as opposed to what people believe. Yeah. People believe that it's taking over that personal contact, and it's not necessarily the right thing, but it's that perception that
it's
matters.
It's definitely taking over that, but I think the need for personal contact is slowly.
Yeah, also, I remember when I was editing a newspaper, I deliberately said, if you want to talk to me between the hours of 9 and 3 in the afternoon, you must go to voicemail or else I'll never get anything done.
Yeah.
Because it's firefighting, you know, complaints, this complaint, send me an email. But for me to be expected that I'll be picking up a call, I mean, I may well just go and work in a, you know, phone exchange or something. Because then how do I get my job done?
Yeah, that's a challenge.
One of the other things that I think you have to face is all of these things, be they the phone call, the cell phone call, the SMS, the WhatsApp, the email, whatever it is.
The DM.
Yeah. Everybody is now... everybody's in the space of, it's engaged, or I've engaged with you. It's almost one monodirectional engagement. I have sent you an SMS. You must have received it. An assumption is made. Maybe a bit better here with WhatsApp. You can actually check if the person's read it. Email as well. The assumption that I've sent it, it must have been received on the other side.
Yeah.
And I've had instances where I've sent email, it hasn't bounced, it's gone, I've been in a foreign country, for example, emailed something to somebody, made the assumption it was there, and a week later they phoned me up and said, are you ever going to send me that? And I'm like,
that happens a lot.
Send it to you a week ago. They're like, and I go back and I, here it is in my sent items. It's nothing returned, and yet it didn't get there. And we all make this assumption. We've moved to that, let's call it default position of, it has to have been delivered.
Yeah, okay.
And that's a problem.
Well, so as you said, Alice, we can talk about this a heck of a lot. Things that I thought of is the follower is more informed. Now, if your leadership style is autocratic and all-knowing, and I'm better than you because my position is higher than yours, then I'm in trouble because my follower is more informed than ever before, right. Suri. So it has to, of necessity, leaders must change their attitude of, I know everything, and that's why I'm in this position, and you know very little. People know as much as you do. So those things have come into our lives. So the pro is people are more informed. The con is people are more informed, depending on your attitude that you have. More information available. So leaders have to make decisions, but they've got more options, more possibilities, more knowledge, and it can take longer, and you can get analysis paralysis. So all these things have come into our world when it comes to the cell phone. Leaders we're all more connected. The other day we were really struggling, and it was business dependent on a line at Telkom. Now, if we weren't going to get help within 24 hours at that stage, I was ready with my Twitter partners to take them on via Twitter, and it's big. Okay, that's what people can do these days.
Yes.
So you have to engage them fast. You have to, and it might be unfair that one would do that, but suddenly it's not the big company and the small man or woman on the street. There's actually influence that the ordinary people have. So a lot of dynamics have changed because of the advent of the, I look for my cell phone all the time here, but it's being used for Periscope. So I get all flabbergasted. I want to check something on my phone.
You've got a cell phone each.
I've got to wait for 3 hours before I can get on that damn thing and see what's going on in my life.
Go away.
So those are just some things we can discuss. Any sort of final comments on the pros and cons of what this has done for us? And of course, you guys are pioneering this, Suri, with all the products and the add-ons that are coming to this phone. And it's just incredible.
So I think some of the cons in terms of business and the market is, operators are moving quite quickly in the space as well, is with this technology, the network plays a huge role in terms of enabling these services to customers and allowing them to get quick access. And you find, as you drive around and the different speeds that you get, and as these devices, technology advances, you need access to faster speeds and more data consumption. And from an operator perspective, the consumption of data is just escalating on a monthly basis.
Sure.
It's just rising. And,
yeah.
Voice is declining, so people are moving more into the digital space. And it's how quick you can start rolling out more access. And I think the spectrum is one of the other elements that prevents us from getting more access to spectrum to be able to provide customers with more advanced networks for better speeds. And, if you look at where the mobile has gone to in terms of entertainment and gaming and just downloading movies and you can't buffer these services. You have to have good speeds. And it's getting access to your LTE and LTE Advanced. And even fiber's moving in this direction. And if you don't equip yourself, as an operator to move quite quickly, you can actually get left behind. And that's one of our core strategies at the moment at CellC, is to ensure that we can enable customers with good experience across the board to support all these technologies.
In 1998, I remember, for me to access my email, I had to first log in, get that sound, and then see the emails come in one by one and load and load and load up, and then log off and then go and read all the emails
and
offline.
It felt fast.
And then go read all the emails offline. Now, that was technology back then.
Well, that's it. That's where the mobile phone's going. I hope we touched on a couple of things, and we'll build on this in the future. This is our technology segment. Suri Ramasuri, thank you so much for joining us today from CellC. And we look forward to having this conversation again next month. Alice Nyandu and Richard Angus, thank you, gents.
You're welcome.
For being here as
thank
always.
You.
That's the future, folks. Next, our youth leadership platform in association with Student Brand.
The Technology Transformation and Leadership Show was brought to you by CellC Business. Get the best in-building coverage with Wi-Fi calling only with Cell C. The power is in your hands.
Doing business in the current economic climate can be made tougher by your telecommunications bill. At Cell C Business, we don't only offer a range of voice and data contracts that'll make sense to any CFO. We also offer innovations like contract buyout, exclusive to Cell C Business, which means we'll pay your business up to 20,000 Rand per line when you move to us. So visit cellc.co.za/business and switch to Cell C for great value. Cell C, the power is in your hands. T's and C's apply.
This is CliffCentral.com.